Okay, good evening. It's the week after Purim, and we are up to the 74th class in Da'as Tefillah, and we're discussing some very, very deep ideas about karbanos. So we have said two things so far about karbanos. The first thing we said is that a sacrifice is integrally connected to fire. To fire, which is actually interesting because the four parts of the sacrifice that are really essential don't include the burning. They include shechting the animal, catching the blood, walking the blood over to the altar, and then sprinkling the blood on the altar. But we generally think of fire when we think of sacrifices, and we've seen in a number of with a number of sources that the two are really integrally linked. That there's something about sacrifices that is connected to fire. What does fire do? Fire burns away this world. Fire burns away this world. Fire separates between that which is real and less real. It purifies. And we said that that's one of the aspects of sacrifice. To one of the as the attr the one of the aspects of bringing a korban is to recognize that you're sort of saying that nothing really exists in front of Hashem. Everything goes up in smoke. Everything turns into nothingness, immediately bursts into flame when in comparison to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we said that that's sort of, yeah.
Isn't water more purifying?
No, I don't think than fire. I don't think than fire.
I'm only thinking of mikvah
Well,
and
water also has the ability to purify, but there's a different level of purification. We don't put most things through the fire because then they wouldn't continue. But fire has that, fire separates more than it purifies. It purifies by separating, by taking out other things. And we said that that's one of the aspects of the idea of bringing a korban is to kind of show that nothing really exists. In comparison to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and according to Midas HaDin, according to the true emes of the world, nothing really should exist. Everything should just go up in smoke. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to temper the world, had to add some mercy into the world for the world to continue to function. Because really, according to the truth, everything should just disappear, should go up in smoke as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. That was the first interesting piece. The second interesting piece, which we saw last week, is the idea that sacrifice, which begins from the Akedah, which begins from the sacrifice, from the binding of Isaac, is associated not so much with what we do, but what we don't do. Not so much what we do, but what we don't do. And we saw that it was very interesting that this seminal sacrifice, the sacrifice by Abraham of Yitzchak, is called Akedas Yitzchak. It's not really called by the name of Avraham. Who was the major player in that sacrifice? It wasn't so much Avraham who was doing, but Yitzchak who was allowing something to be done to him, not protesting. E asiyah. The lack, E means the lack of asiyah of doing. And we pointed out that that's a major theme in the korbanos, and in fact, a major theme of service of Hashem is to hold ourselves back from doing things, to keep from doing things. That we ended with last time is the secret to all mitzvot lo ta'aseh. By showing that ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you can't do something, and therefore I must stay still. I must restrict myself from doing it. Right? That was the second idea. We're going to finish that idea tonight and see the third and last. And next week, please God, we will see how this all relates back to tefillah. He says, "Ha'akeda hi hashoresh leklal maaseh avodat hakorbanot b'Yisrael." The akeda is the basis for all of the service of karbanos in Israel, kemavur b'medrash, as it says in the medrash, B'sha'ah she'akad Avraham Avinu et Yitzchak b'no, hitkin HaKadosh Baruch Hu beiz kvasim echad shel shacharit ve'echad shel arvit. At the moment that Avraham offered Yitzchak as a sacrifice, and as we're saying, at the moment that Yitzchak allowed himself to be offered as a sacrifice, God put aside or established that there would be two daily sacrifices for the Jewish people. Shebishah sheyiyu Yisrael mekriven tamid, agavi hamizbeach, v'korin et hamikra hazeh, that when the Jewish people will offer the sacrifices on the mizbeach, and they will read about the akedah, tzafuna lifnei hamakom, zocher hakadosh baruch hu akedas Yitzchak. Kadosh baruch hu thinks back. In fact, what the Medrash is saying is that the reason why we bring sacrifices is so that God will remember Akedas Yitzchak. You may never have heard that one before. The reason why we bring sacrifices is to recreate for God that first sacrifice. And the sacrifice was ultimately made not by Avraham, but by Yitzchak. The willingness to give oneself up. You see the common thread with fire. The willingness to become nothing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs. Ukefishin isbar b'inyan mahusa shel asiya ba'akeda, kach hi mahus inyanam shel ma'asei ha'karbanos. He says, just like by the binding of Isaac, the way it was acted out was by not doing anything, not protesting. If you now think about the way we brought an animal sacrifice, shechita, collecting of the blood, walking over, pouring it on the mizbeach, bringing the limbs on top of the fire, nimtza shel kol inyanam hu bitul olam hachiyut. He said, if you think about it, what is the act of bringing a sacrifice in the temple? It's very destructive, right? Isn't it very destructive? You're killing animals unnecessarily. PETA's all over this. What is going on? Why are we killing animals? We're killing animals because we are showing that the physical world represented in this animal is nothing. It goes up in smoke. It's almost a wasteful thing to do. Why would we take a perfectly good lamb and kill it and then throw away its blood and then offer its limbs on the altar? Why would we do that if it wasn't to show that the physical world is not all it's made up to be? It's not only we're put to the test, and we're basically asked to destroy the physical world in a controlled manner, in a controlled way. Nimtza shekol inyanam hu bitul olam hachiyut, to destroy a living thing. I know this sounds barbaric, but we would say that animals were created partially so that they could be killed, so that we can make this powerful statement that life is not as permanent as we think it is. Life can be taken away in a second. Life of a human, life of an animal is nothing compared to the life of God. Hashpatat olam ha'asiya, the destruction of this physical world. Kiluyo shel olam ha'chomer kimitziyut kiumit nifredet. The destruction of the physical world as a separate entity. Remember, we talked about this idea that God's really everywhere. God's really everywhere. And according to Kabbalah, God had to restrict himself, had to pull himself back. He had to hide in order for other things to exist. If God wouldn't hide himself, then his presence would be so overwhelming that everything would be swallowed up immediately. Everything would be destroyed immediately. What do we do? What are we saying when we take an animal and we slaughter it? We're reminding that God is hiding there. And this is what really should be happening were God to show his face.
We're talking about sacrifice that totally burns.
Well, he's talking about two steps here. Here he's talking about the killing of the animal and the throwing of its blood. Even before you get to fire, which then consumes it completely, he says, what's the point of this act of killing a perfectly good, normal, living thing? The answer is, it's symbolic of the fact that all living things just are nothing compared to the ultimate living God.
But if it's a type of sacrifice where the Kohen are going to eat it, or we get to eat it, is a different level of sacrifice, right?
So yes, that's a very good point. This seems to be much more pronounced in what's called a burnt offering, where the whole thing is burnt. It seems to be less pronounced when the korban is partially burnt and partially eaten, unless you say what? Unless you say...
No.
No, somebody? What I said was, Mark is making a very good point. Dr. Mark is making a very good point that this idea that what we do with an animal is sort of make it disappear is much more pronounced by a korban that is actually burnt completely on the altar. But what will you say about an animal that's also, that's partially burnt and partially eaten?
Then it has a purpose.
That what?
Then it has a more of a functional purpose.
But I think that there's something more there. What is the eating of the animal? You're not allowed to leave it over. You're not allowed to put it on your mantle. You're not allowed to put it aside. Could it be that when we eat a sacrifice, we are participating in the destruction of it through eating it?
Except that we're going to get nutritional value from it.
Okay.
Get benefit from it. So okay. That's why I wouldn't say that necessarily.
Okay. Okay, but the word ochel is also used by fire. The word ochel is a word that's used by fire just like by humans. So there may be an element of
that. We devour things. We consume
exactly,
things.
Exactly. So yes, it doesn't make the point as well as a burnt offering, but it might have an element of burning as well.
And both fire and we are use the same words, consume.
That's right.
Fire consumes something, right. We consume.
So it could be that even when a korban is eaten, on some level that point is being made, and we are serving as the means of destruction, so to speak. Kiluyo shel olam hachomer kimitziyut kiyumit nifredet v'ha'alato l'mitziyut ruchanit gavoha. But there's something behind this, that when we destroy the physical, we perhaps leave behind, and we'll see what this means, we perhaps separate the physical from the material, and separate the physical from the spiritual, and leave behind just the spiritual. We'll see what that means in a moment. Ishe reach nichoach laHashem, asiyot sheinyanam bitul olam haasiya. The actions, even the very actions that we do, we pointed out that part of being a korban is actually, when a korban's being brought, you're the animal. You're really, the real meaning behind the korban is that you're the animal. You're the one being destroyed. You're the one being acted upon. You're the Yitzchak. You're not the Avraham. But even to the extent that you're the Avraham, what are you doing? Taking down the physical world. Reducing the physical world to nothing. Ha-pe'ula ha-chiyuvit. המעשה שנשאר חי וקיים לאחר ההקרבה או שריפת הקורבן הוא מחשבתו זו תפילתו של המקריב. And now he takes a little bit of a jump, but we'll have to see how he does this. He says, what's left after the animal's gone up in smoke? What's left from the whole action that I did? This whole korban? What's left?
Ashes.
So ashes, and we'll see that the meaning of those ashes, but also what does he say here? He says, Machashavto, maybe make it so I could read it. Zu tfilato shel hamakriv. Machashavto, zu tfilato shel hamakriv. What's left are the aspects of what I did that aren't physical. Ratzon hamesirut nefesh shelo. The desire that I wish that this was me. I would have been willing to give myself up if I had to. Hashi'ifa ledveikut bebore yitbarach. The desire to be closer to Hashem. So I spent the last 15 minutes with this animal. I killed it. I took the blood. I burned it. I burnt the whole thing. What did I do? So what remains from everything? Everything physical about what I did is gone. All that's left are the thoughts and the feelings that I had when I was doing it. And even though, as we'll see, these are really deep ideas, even though I'm not still thinking about it, I go back to my work, but spiritual things, by their very nature, don't come apart, don't disappear, don't die. Death is defined as something coming apart. But not only the separation of the body from the soul, but it's the separation of each molecule of our body coming apart. That's what happens when we degenerate. Right? In the physical world, there's the idea that things continue to come apart. You can't speak of thoughts coming apart. You can't think of intentions coming apart. You can't even speak of tfilos coming apart. So here it is. This guy, let's say he's a Kohen himself. He comes to the Beis HaMikdash. He takes his knife. He does the action. He kills the animal. He burns the animal. He's schwitzing. He spends 2 hours doing it. At the end of the day, what's left? What's left are the parts of what he did that were not physical. Because those things don't go anywhere. His intention, his thought, his willingness to be killed if need be, his mesiras nefesh. Ba'asher inyanam shel pu'ulot eila heim asiya lelo torat ma'aseh b'fo'al. The things that I do that don't involve the physical action, thoughts. The things that I do that don't involve a physical action are more lasting than the things that I do that involve a physical action. Avodah.
So that goes back to davening with kavanah.
That's what this whole thing is going to get to. His whole thing is going to get to that next time or the time afterwards. Right, because remember, we asked the basic question that we asked from the very, very beginning is how absurd is this comparison? If you say that prayers are in the pathway of the avos, I understand. Avos gave prayers and we gave prayers. But what does it mean? A tefillah is like a sacrifice. How more physical could something be than a sacrifice? How much more earthy could something be than killing an animal? What does killing an animal have to do with a silent meditation?
Yeah, but remember, maybe that's why we don't do it. The Kohanim do it.
Could be too. But what he's trying to say is even the sacrifice itself, every action is there to actually take down the physical world. You're right, there are physical actions. But those physical actions aren't to build something, they're to make things disappear. What I basically do is I use my body to take the physical world and get rid of it, so the only thing left are my thoughts. And that's what prayer is. So if bringing a sacrifice was like taking a lulav, where the idea is to do something, then prayer would be no kind of substitute for that. But what he's trying to show is that everything about sacrifices, the fact that it goes up in smoke, the fact that I kill the animal and reduce it to nothing, are all there to show that every action I do is not the point. The point is what I'm thinking when I bring the sacrifice. Right? Avodah mibli hizdakakut l'klei ha'olam ha'gashmi. I serve God with my mind without using my physical body. Mahut avodah zu gevoha umromemet. This kind of service of God is even more powerful and more important than serving God with our bodies. And now he has one thing to add. koach ha-harshama shel asiyah miminzu. And he makes the point, which I made outside before, harshama is the impression. The power of the impression that these actions, but it's actions with quotation marks on them, it's not a real action, it's an action I do with my mind. How powerful are these things? Pu'ulata, the koach ha-harshama shela ba'olam nishar nitzchi. As we said before, only physical things disappear. Spiritual things don't disappear. Spiritual things last forever. Nitbonein ba'avodas Avram kesheshachat et ha'ayel. When Avraham gives up on Yitzchak and he goes shechts the ram, Avram starts praying. He says, may it be your will, God, that I should get schar when I shecht this ayil as if I shechted Yitzchak. And realize, God, that I was ready to shecht Yitzchak if you want it. And when I collected the blood from the ram, you should see it as if I collected the blood of Yitzchak. And he said, may it be as if when I collected, as if I collected the blood of Yitzchak itself. And then when I brought the ayah, when I brought the ram on the Mizbeach, and I saw everything burning, I said, I was willing to do this to my son. So what is he doing? A physical action that is simply a representation of a thought, of a willingness that I had. When Avraham takes that ayah and he burns it up and he takes it, he's simply showing what he didn't do, but he was ready to do. And the idea of the Arkeda is that he was ready to shecht the Yitzchak. He didn't have to actually shecht the Yitzchak, because the actual shechting is not the point. Roshma shel avoda zu, the impression left by this avoda, otzem hakavona v'hita amtsut ligboa et masei avoda shenasu ba'ayel. All of his intention and is pressing that everything he did to the ram should be as if he did it to Yitzchak. Pa'alo v'hitbio et rishumam lenetzach. Allowed what he did in the physical world to have a permanent impression. Because ironically, that which I actually kill doesn't have a physical impression. But my thought that I'm killing something else, when I shecht an animal, if my thought is to shecht the animal, then that's a physical act. It's happening in front of me, and that disappears. But if I'm shechting the animal with the thought that I'm doing something else, that I'm shechting myself, so that power lasts forever. And that's what it means. Zacharti is brisi Yaakov, avos brisi Yitzchak, avos brisi Avram eskor, v'lam lo nemra zechira b'Yitzchak. Why doesn't it say, if you notice this pasuk, the pasuk says, I'll remember my bris with Yaakov and my bris with Yitzchak. And I'll also remember the bris with Avram. So says Rashi, why doesn't it say that I have to remember Yitzchak? Ela afaro shel Yitzchak nira lefanai tzavur umunach al mizbeach. Because Yitzchak's willingness to die, Avraham's thinking, his willingness to kill his son, not the physical acts that he did, those things never disappear. Yitzchak nechshav saruf, afarod savur lifnei habore. He is as if he was killed and destroyed. Zechuta shel avodah zu kvuah v'kayemet lanetzach. That never goes away. Zuhi mahut peulata korban, kviat roshem ruchani al yedei siluk mitziut hagashmin. So not only, he's saying, not only is the idea behind the sacrifice to show that physical things are nothing by God, but it's a very strange act where I actually get rid of all the physical here, and all that's left is my desire to be close to God. And why do I get rid of all of the physical? Because the physical stuff can't last anyway. The physical stuff has no lasting impression. But my thoughts, my desire to be with Hashem, that can't come apart. That can't disintegrate. That lives forever.
That's what made why Yitzchak, from a psychological point of view, was the type of forefather he was.
Yitzchak was dead and alive at the same time.
Right. He couldn't. He was all what was left of him was.
Right. His physical body was all but a shadow at that point. Correct. Now, he did get married and have kids and all this and that after that. He doesn't say very much for the rest of his life. You could just say it was PTSD.
And he really just does things. He repeats things that Avraham did.
Right. He doesn't. He's barely living in this world, which is appropriate because we said that someone that if we really relate to God's judgment, we would go up in smoke. We would disappear. Yitzchak had to be like the living dead. This is why it's so hard to relate to Yitzchak in a real way. Yitzchak related to a way of God that is intellectually true. Ein od milvado, there's nothing else but God. And in order to really do that, he almost had to have no regular body, like his body. He had to have a body. He was a person. But on a metaphysical level, we look at his body as if it was left behind at the Akedah. V'kachu einyan b'chol avodas hakorban etzel avodas hashalem shekasher ta'ale alibo zeh hamachshava hatara tidbak nafsho ba'olam halyon dveikut gemura v'chol ma sheyase b'korbano ro'ino to ke'ilu na'ase b'atzmo u'ma'alin alav ke'ilu hikriv et nafsho lifnei boro. So from the very beginning, the question he asked is, What do you mean? It's as if you did it to yourself, right? When in Holosu, they always used to give a mitzvah shir. So it was a funny thing in the mitzvah shir. Sometimes we'd explain concepts that are sometimes a little difficult or sometimes easy to make fun of. So we talked about the idea of having something in mind. It's like, it's okay as long as you have it in mind, right? What does it mean to have it in mind? Like a kind of crazy thing is like the Erev's up, so it's okay. So no, don't worry. You're allowed to do it as long as you're allowed to not do that as long as you have it in mind. What does that mean? But now he's saying something incredible. He's saying that what you have in your mind is more important than ultimately what you're doing with your body. You can't do wanton things with your body either. But what you do with your mind is more holy, is more special than anything that you could do with your body. There's a fascinating Rambam in the Laws of Midot where he talks about someone who has bad midos. And the Rambam says that a person who has a bad characteristic is worse in a way than a person who does a bad thing. That's not usually the way we think about it. You could think all you want, but, you know, just do the right things. So, true. True. All we can really judge down here and all we can really ultimately think is what you do. But the Rambam explains in the Mor Nevuchim that your body is already physical. It's not that holy to begin with. Your mind is your most godlike thing. If you mess up with your body, you sullied something that's pretty earthly to begin with. If you mess up with your mind, then you're taking something that's naturally divine, and you're bringing it back down to earth and you're destroying it. So he's explaining that this, he started from a place that he was almost mocking the author of Das Tefillah. What do you mean? It's ki'ilu. It's as if I shech the animal and then it's as if I did it to myself. No, better to do it to yourself. No. Because thoughts, pure thoughts that I have are even more valuable than pure actions that I have. A real desire to give myself up before God is even more lasting than an actual act. It's got to be real. It's got to come from a real place. But that's what he's saying. He's saying that when you check the animal and you feel as if it was happening to me, shlemus dargosam shel osa matzadikim tmimei avod hi bechinas osa maila elei agi Yitzchak. The greatest level that I can get to, he says, is to be like Yitzchak, that I was willing to give my life up. The fact that I didn't give my life up, That's something that happened on the physical plane. What so really matters? What?
Why did Hashem then have to make Abraham do the ayah then? If the ultimate thing was, you know, the spiritual thing that, you know, Yitzchak obviously he made it because he.
It's an excellent question, but what he said earlier was, in other words, it allowed Abraham to really get the feelings of serving of what he was going to do for Yitzchak.
Perhaps
he was sort of, he was supposedly willing, but until he brought that knife down onto something and said, make this as if I had done it to Yitzchak. So his intentions weren't real and they weren't full. But ultimately the killing of the isle was meaningless in and of itself. The only thing that accomplished was the carrying out, so to speak, the acting out, the dramatizing of what he was willing to give up for God. But the killing of a sheep, the killing of a ram, that's not the service of God per se. It's a very interesting way of looking at korbanos, that God doesn't gain anything when I kill an animal. But it does allow me in a very powerful way to imagine or to think about my willingness to have done that to myself. When the blood flows, it's pretty gory. I really think about what that means much more than just saying, oh, yeah, I'd give myself up to God. Okay, let's take a knife and let's run a knife through a throat and let's envision now what that is and where that blood is coming from. And he says, like it says in the Medrash, Bezvul yesh mizbeach. This is also found in the Gemara in Chagiga, those of you in Daflon Yomi land. In Zvul, in one of the heavens, there's an altar that's built, and Michal, the Tsar of Israel, is the Kohen Gadol, and he's Makriv B'chol Yom. What is he Makriv? Nishmoseihem Shel Tzadikim. It's a very obscure idea that somehow he's bringing the souls of the righteous on the altar. But the idea being that the righteous would have been willing to give their souls up. The righteous become Yitzchak, so to speak. So again, all of this is very theoretical. But Shloshi Yisodos Ikariyim Hisparu Lanu. To conclude, we've learned three things about Karbanos. Number one, Avoda Hi Ha'esh. That the key part, that Avoda, that serving sacrifices, is synonymous with fire. Two, Mahut Ha'asiya Ba'olam Ha'ira. That when we're serving God out of real fear and a real appreciation of the two of us, the only way to serve him is by not doing, by pulling myself out, by not existing. I serve God by not existing almost, as opposed to when I'm serving out of love, I come and I use my body and I'm myself. But when I serve him out of real fear, any action that I do is really about more what I'm not doing or what I'm destroying or what I'm saying doesn't exist. That's the whole serving God through fear is less about what I do and much more about what I'm thinking, things that aren't physical. And finally, koach ha-harshama shamaiseh ha-krava, the lasting effect of bringing a sacrifice, because specifically it's not a physical thing that actually makes it much more long-lasting. And now next week, we'll finally be able to understand how these three ideas, A, fire, B, not doing, not using my physical body, and three, the lasting effect of something spiritual, those will explain how that relates to tefillah and why tefillah is exactly like a korban, even though on the surface it looks like exactly the opposite. Whew. Okay. Yeah, I got to run because I have a 9 o'clock meeting that I'm late for. So next week, Amir Tzashem will be on. Surgery again sometime next Tuesday. So depending when the second dye is being done, I may or may not be on, but I am hoping we'll have an 8:30 share next week, assuming the surgery goes well.
Can't do this surgery and give this year at the same time?
During the surgery? Only yeah, because they give me like this. They gave me a shot. So I was very good. I guess they don't want you to punch the guy when he comes at your eye with a knife.
Right.
reasonable. They tie you down, you should know. They tie you down on the stretcher so you don't hit the guy. Yeah, so probably not. Probably not during the surgery, but about half an hour after the surgery, you should be able to give the shear, depending on what it is.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.